To make history on gay rights, Richard Socarides had to come out as a gay man to his controversial psychiatrist father, who made a career out of claiming he could cure homosexuality. Richard Socarides' journey to freedom led him to the White House, where he served as an advisor to President Bill Clinton from 1993 to 1999. This story is told in this episode of the epic ABC miniseries When We Rise, based on the Cleve Jones book about 40 years of the LGBTQ rights movement. They cast Richard Socarides' own brother Charles to be the young Richard facing his intolerant dad. The miniseries reenacts the dramatic coming out, and it changed the relationship between these two brothers.
He said that right after we shot it, that it was therapeutic for him, and that's the best possible, just on a personal and professional level.
Once Richard Socarides made it into the White House, getting it right became a matter of history. Did he get it right with Bill Clinton? Richard said those days were about taking things one crisis at a time.
I think people who knew me and people who knew me and my family knew I was interested in government. I think that I would be that my role in government would be so focused on LGBT rights was a surprise to pretty much everybody. The fact that I was a gay person was not really a surprise to anybody, but that would be largely my focus and a role that the president gave me, I think, was pretty much a surprise to everybody, including me.
And those were times where, you know, good intentions were often the equivalent of actually taking action, and that no action would get done because people felt like, well, in my heart, I believe that, you know, we're doing the right thing here. And that conflict is part of what this episode is about. I'm going to play a clip from When We Rise, and this is a scene between Cleve Jones and you, but playing you, Richard Socarides. And when we finish, tell me what's going on here.
Socarides, any relation to Charles Socarides, that homophobe shrink who damned my entire generation?
He's my father. Have a good day.
The fact that somebody is homosexual, a true obligatory homosexual, automatically rules out the possibility that he will remain happy for long.
I mean, wow.
Right. I mean, that last part is the audio of a talk my father gave at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, where he was a professor at the time. The video of that appears in When We Rise to kind of set the scene of what was happening. But it was video taken from a CBS News special in the early 70s on homosexuality. And, you know, I remember when it appeared in real time. The earlier part of the clip you played is, fast forward, is Charlie speaking to Guy Pearce, who's the actor who plays Cleve Jones, in the 1990s talking about, you know, the issues that gay and lesbian people, was mostly gay and lesbian people then, faced in the 1990s. And you were exactly right. I mean, you know, it's hard to judge in today's moment Bill Clinton's record on LGBT rights because so much of it looks like he could have done better, right? But he was a really transformational figure. I mean, he was the first person of that kind of national stature who was willing to say that gay people were entitled to rights and be full participants and full citizens. So it was really transformational, and he set the stage for many of the advances that have come in the last decade.
Although for Cleve Jones in this script to say, Socarides, any relation to Charles Socarides, that homophobe shrink who damned my entire generation, I mean, for you to be in the position you were in the Clinton administration said to someone like Cleve Jones, oh, well, he isn't serious about LGBT rights.
You know, Cleve's view at the time represented certainly a minority view, but, because we were certainly doing a lot during the Clinton administration for LGBT people, and most of the big LGBT rights organizations were working very closely with us, endorsed President Clinton, you know, both times he ran, and were very enthusiastic supporters of him. But you're right. I mean, the gay movement is never unified. It's always fractured, and people felt like he could do more.
And the story reflects that. That highlights the storyline in a nutshell right there, the Cleve Richard storyline, which is grassroots, band together progress at any cost, and then Richard the first establishment figure inside the White House. And there, that scene takes place in the Human Rights Campaign lobby right after that Cleve and Richard have sort of gone at it in a boardroom about getting Clinton to be the first president to appear to keynote an HRC dinner. Huge progress from Richard's point of view. But for Cleve, it was, well, what about this? What about the people dying of AIDS? Why hasn't he done, you know, X, Y, Z?
We'll play the real moment there, but the HRC dinner is significant how?
The HRC dinner is significant how? It was the first time a president showed up saying, you know, to a room full of gay people saying, I see you, you exist. And so for Richard, that was a huge deal. The question in the Cleve-Richard a relationship is, now how far can we get him to go with it? Mm-hmm. Can we get him to apologize? Can we get him to acknowledge all the people that have died from AIDS? Can we get him to acknowledge all that needs to be done, to apologize for Don't Ask, Don't Tell? For
the interesting perspective in the context of the mid-90s is when Bill Clinton went to that dinner, it was huge news. The fact that a sitting president would go to a gay rights event, that was the first time that it ever happened. And symbolically, it sent a powerful message to everybody in the country.
50 years ago, President Truman stood at a new frontier in our defining struggle on civil rights. Slavery had ended a long time before, but segregation remained. Harry Truman stood before the Lincoln Memorial and said, "It is more important today than ever to ensure that all Americans enjoy the rights of freedom and equality. When I say all Americans, I mean all Americans."
So at that moment, did you feel as though this was success? This, I mean, you know, you were making history.
Yeah, we all felt, I think everybody who participated in that event and that evening felt we were making history. Now, whether he was saying enough, we all deeply believed, and I still believe to this day, it was big progress. Now, the most important thing he did, of course, was he signed an executive order, which is still in force today, which banned sexual orientation discrimination throughout the government except the military, because the military was covered by the act of Congress, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So Bill Clinton actually did a lot of substantive good things on the civil rights front for LGBT people. But it's an interesting perspective today to say that one of the most important things he did was just show up at something.
A moment of triumph, but in your heart, could he have gone farther?
Well, that's a difficult question, I think. Listen, there were many of us pushing on the inside, myself included, always to do more. President Clinton would tell you today that that's how things get done. You put smart people who are passionate about something, you give them these White House jobs and you get them to push you and you get them to convince you. And I think that that's how we got as much done as we did get done. Could he have done more? Did we try to get him to do more? Of course. But, you know, there are always competing interests. I think, you know, history will be very kind to him in this area particularly.
Richard Socarides and Charles Socarides, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.